Joe Lopresti, the father to Francesco. Welcome to Let's Talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, you, for me, you navigate. And everything that goes on is all in here. The goal for me today is to get it from in here and out. Because I want to know what's been going on through your head. I want to know who Joe Lopresti really is. I do want to say as well that it's just been such an honor to be a part of this family. Just being in the house and seeing what like a father is like and just really experiencing a full family and just a beautiful home. So I just want to say thank you for letting me in.
No, thank you for being part of us.
Of course. So you already know where we're going to go.
Where?
We're going to go in. We get deep on the show. Mm-hmm. So you ready?
I guess, yeah. You have to be ready.
Young Francesco, I want to know a little bit more of what that looked like. What kind of kid was he? What was his spiel? What did he love to do? Do you have any favorite memories with him?
There's lots of them. There's so many that he was just a wild, crazy guy, I guess. The only way is just a crazy kid.
Yeah.
He would be in the middle of everything. He would be bouncing off the walls. He would
energetic
chaos. Unbelievable. I mean, he had us up the first 8 months of his life because he had his time backwards. So imagine what that's got to be like.
So you're saying he was up all night?
So he started as soon as he
got
out, basically.
He was like a party animal as a kid?
Yeah, it was just, that's why he was born on the weekend.
Yeah.
He was actually on a Saturday.
Wow. Does this all make sense then? Mm-hmm. So he did a lot of activity when he was younger.
Yeah, growing up.
Right? So what was, like, his favorite activity that you guys put him in? What'd you say?
We introduced him to everything. I mean, as a young boy, the baseball, the soccer. But I think the thing that got him was the taekwondo.
Mm, that's what he loved to do?
Because it was, like, a lot of fighting, I guess. You know, a lot of movements.
Yeah.
A lot of energy, which he had.
Yeah.
So,
true.
You know, just basically, and he grew with that, you know, until he was older.
Did you, like, enjoy going to his shows?
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his younger brother did it.
Yeah, then he got him into it. And they both did well. I mean, there's so many trophies that he's gotten over the years. His performances.
I remember.
In the city, you know.
We went to Times Square one time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched him break bricks with his head, and I was like, this is a disturbing sport. Whatever it was. But then I realized, like, wait, this is actually kind of cool. I feel safe with this guy. This is awesome.
Everything and everything. He, you know, you saw he was bouncing.
Yeah.
He was jumping over people's heads.
I
never thought he would achieve that much.
Yeah. I remember, actually, too, he was telling me that they wanted him to, like, open up his own taekwondo studio at a point.
They were willing to give him, his own dojo. But then somehow someone got in the middle of things.
We're going to get into that right now. I'm so glad you brought that up. But before we go there, I want to talk a little bit about his LA time. So he was into modeling and stuff?
Yes, we actually, we brought him to, I remember this, it was John Robert Powers.
Okay.
In the city.
Okay.
And, you know, we brought him there because he said he wanted to do modeling or acting, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a parent, you give him
everything.
You introduce them to whatever they want to do because you never know what's really going to click with them.
Yeah.
You know, so we did that for a while. And then, you know, he was going to classes. And then there was, they organized a trip for everybody to go to California. They did the runway thing. They did a short, you know, entertainment, a play. Mm. They did a dance.
Did he like it?
Oh, he loved it. He was lucky. You know, he loved being center of attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if that's where his conspiracy of being Justin Bieber's cousin came into play.
Yeah.
He was like,
could be.
You know me, I'm Justin Bieber's cousin. And I fell for it because he looked a lot like Justin Bieber. So.
Yeah, at that time, yeah, because that was the hot thing at the time. Yeah, he did a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, they used to take like double glance like we were in the car.
Yeah.
You know, was that him?
Well, one time I took him to the city to stalk Justin Bieber. at one of his hotels. And when I walked up to, like, wait at the hotel, everybody thought he was Justin Bieber. They were taking pictures with him. I'm like, it's not him. It's the guy's in the hotel, not him. I was getting all jealous.
Just a lookalike, yeah.
A lookalike.
So he took advantage and he ran with it.
Oh, he was so happy. You like know. You said, center of attention.
Oh, that's always him. He's always been.
The most, I think, of course, memorable moment that I know that Francesco did when he was younger was Diva Dance Studio.
Now, that was another thing, yeah.
And that is where I came into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where everything got turned upside everything down, yes. Turned upside down. That's correct.
But you took him out of Dance Studio. He had to leave. Well, I guess he didn't have good grades in school, was it? I think he was telling me.
He was kind of slacking, yeah, and okay. This and that. You know, so as a parent, you know, you try to give him a little bit of discipline.
Yeah.
You know, try to do well, then we'll reward you with something, right. You know. It's the old mentality, I know. But unfortunately, no. That's what was given to me.
So you gave it to him.
It projected off.
Yeah.
And so we took him out, you know. I didn't want to do it, but...
Did he like it?
Like I said, as long as he was center, it didn't matter where you put him.
Right, he was happy.
He was, you know, I think he enjoyed it. He liked he liked dancing, and again, it was... Very acrobatic,
mm-hmm.
You know, he was flexible, so they just,
he
would go with it.
When you took him out of dance, you didn't notice that you broke a ballerina's heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I didn't know, but.
But we refound each other.
It was destiny.
It was destiny.
Yeah.
When, at the time that him and I kind of came back together, he was in Taekwondo, which goes back to your point of... Mm. Who got in the way of it? Because I lived around the corner. And, you know, you'd have class. You'd say, you know what? I'll come to your house. We'll hang out. Next thing you know, we missed like 10 classes. Not good.
Yeah. No. Well, that's what happened. You know, I guess his mind went to a different direction. So, but.
Do you remember the first time you met me?
It
was a while ago.
I believe so. I mean, I think it was at Taekwondo, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right? Because
you...
Either you came up or you happened to be there when we went there to pick him up. And
I was there and then we like met and he was like, oh, like my parents could drive you home if you want. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm so scared. And he's like, no, come on. You got to come in. So I go in the car with you guys. And I'm like, do you remember that car ride? So long ago.
No, not really.
No.
I can't say why. Did something.
No, I was just so like nervous. I was like, oh my God, like I'm in the car with them. And I remember sending him a text, and I'm like, did they like me? And he's like, yeah, they loved you. And then I would start coming over, and that was when Rosa cooked me some French onion soup, because she knew I loved the soup. You know, I started to spend some time there. And do you remember, like, the younger version of Francesco and I, 15, 16?
Of course, yeah.
Do you remember how many times you had to wait outside?
Yeah, practically every night.
So, you guys, Francesco would come to my house every day when I would get out of school, and his dad would come and pick him up around 8, 9 o'clock, and when his dad would text him and say, I'm here, come outside, he would say, yeah, you can wait, nice half hour. How long would you wait every day?
Oh, forget it. A half hour to an hour. Sometimes I would leave.
I remember that.
I would leave.
He would text him, be like, get home yourself, and then he's like, he's definitely around the corner somewhere hiding, and then like you just swing around. It's like, I knew it.
Yeah, because I couldn't do it. I tried.
You tried.
I tried being
You made yourself like
that,
three right? blocks down. You're like, gotta go get this guy.
Because then I wouldn't be at ease, you know. I got to get him home. So then I think to myself, God forbid something happens, it's going to be on my conscience.
Yeah.
So I can't have that.
Well, overall, he would always be like, I'm going to take you out on a date tonight. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, how are we getting here? He's like, I got a guy. Who was it? You?
It was me, yeah.
Driving to movie theaters. So... Thank you for being our
chauffeur.
Very cheap Uber.
No, listen, I've always told both my kids, you need me anytime, anywhere, I'm there.
So you guys have you have a system, right? I feel like you guys are very culture-based. You guys are Italian. And by the way, this is something that is very common in all different cultures. Everybody has their certain ways of doing things.
Right.
I had a very hard time understanding that because I wasn't in the same culture with you.
Yeah.
And I felt like, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, that at the time, me not being full Italian was kind of like a concern. It was kind of like, what are you going to do? Like, she doesn't understand how we do things.
It was a concern, but I'm saying, you know what? They're young. puppy love, I don't know, whatever, you know. So you come and go.
Right. Know? But as we got older, years kept going by. You're like, hey, they're getting a little older. What are we going to do here? But I was learning and growing as we were going. But I feel like when we want people to function a certain way, sometimes we get stuck in that. And sometimes we miss out on who they really are because we're like, well, they're not doing this. But then we can't see that they're doing that. Right. I used to get so sad. But I also really learned a lot. And I think that Francesco and I taught each other a lot. And we kind of found this middle point where we were able to make it work. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that as well?
Yeah, I think so. Because like I said, you had, you know, it's two different upbringings. Mm-hmm. You know, he like you said, he had the Italian culture, you know, the way I was brought up. And it's not as bad as it was when I was coming up.
Right.
You know, I mean, we were a little bit more, we definitely were more lenient than my parents were.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, there was no way a girl was staying at my house.
Right.
I couldn't do it. I mean, I didn't even bring girls to my house.
Yeah.
Because my father's like, these things you keep outside.
Yeah.
You're going to bring the one that you marry. That's about it.
Right. Well, he definitely pushed buttons with you guys.
Oh, forget
it. He was like, oh, you're not okay with this? If I keep just doing it, eventually they'll be okay with it.
He would always get his way. No matter what, he would finagle it, swing it.
Even at a young age.
Oh, forget it. He didn't know no, what no meant. What's no? Like, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
No matter what I said, even if I got loud with him, he's like, yeah, whatever, you'll get over it, you know?
Yeah.
And he would get his way.
Yeah.
Because then he would smooth talk you.
Oh. Oh, he was, I don't know who he got that from. Somebody in that house taught him how to smooth their way through. And I want to think it's you. Are you the culprit?
It may be. It might have been. Yeah, because I had a...
I'm going to have to check with your wife after this and see what she thinks.
Well, you know, I had my rep when I was younger, obviously.
No, he was, like, so good with getting his way. But there was, like, almost something that was, like, you can't say no because he was, like, so... He was, like, a con artist, but, like, a charismatic. Like, he meant... Like, he really, like, meant well. Like, he just, like, made everything that may not work out, like, sound like it's going to really work out, and it, like, did. Yeah. I can't explain it.
I know, like, yeah, it's crazy.
He just, like, had his way.
He would just work with it, and, you know, he would twist it and bend it and mold it in the way...
Yeah.
This is the way it's going to come out. And it did.
And it did.
Even though we, you know, you would fight about it and this and that. He's like, see, I told you, everything's good.
Yeah.
But still aggravate you at the same time.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. Do you feel that now that you saw, you know, Francesco and I kind of find that middle point, that it's opened your mind to be more open-minded to cultures maybe mixing and, like, working?
It can happen.
Yeah.
If it's true love, it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because love conquers all.
How would you say that you know when something like true love as, like, an adult?
I saw the way he was towards you.
Yeah.
He just, you know, breathed your air. He just, every day, it was just like something that he was vibrant about.
Yeah.
Glowing, whatever, however you want to describe it.
Yeah.
But there was something that triggered.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had plenty of shares of, you know, even though he was young, he had a lot of friends that were girls.
True.
But, you know, there's always that one.
Yeah.
And I guess you were it.
Well, I'm just so glad that we had so much time together and that I always felt like I couldn't entirely show you who I was because, like, there was, like, this barrier because I wasn't able to, like, completely understand the culture. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now you see me entirely for who I am with everything that we've gone through, and I'm just really happy that we finally got to get to a position where, like, I'm just, like, completely myself with you. Yeah. And I'm just grateful for that. I'm really glad we got there.
It took us, you know, it took us time because, you know, like I said, our culture is very knit family. You know, we're close.
Right.
Of course, you saw that.
Absolutely.
So if you were willing to be part of that, obviously we accepted you.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because then when he would come to my house, my mom's like, we're going to have tacos tonight. He's like, oh, he's just like, not pasta, let's go. So it was nice because we both kind of got to live those different moments. And it really just created this beautiful balance that I'm just so grateful for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was definitely good. Because like you said, we wouldn't do that. You know, you tell a mom, make tacos, make something different. She's like, no, all the pasta's ready. You know?
So I go to college, right? And that was already a big... I actually remember saying to you guys, like, hey, I'm going to go away. And,
yeah, I know.
You know, I think, especially now, as I look back at 25, for two young kids trying to do that long distance, I think maybe, and you could tell me what you think, but it was kind of just like, I don't know what's going to happen here.
You didn't know, really. Mm-hmm. I was probably thinking that probably was going to not happen. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're out, it's a long distance relationship. It can happen.
Yeah, and especially like being in college.
Right. I mean, you know, it's a whole different world. You're in your world, and then he's not part of it.
Right.
And so does he sit back and just hang out, or does he just, hey, whatever.
It's not working, yeah.
You know, so he just.
Well, we ended up breaking up. It didn't work, which I explained to them our whole story. And while we're separated, Francesco gets sick.
Right.
I have so many questions as to how the dynamic of your house changed as you guys kind of had this whole new world happen. Like, everything just went upside down. I think a lot of us fear cancer. It's like a scary thing. And what was Francesco feeling that was giving symptoms of being very sick? What do you remember those first moments of him complaining, like, hey, I need to go to the doctor? How can people catch that they need to be checked out?
Well, in his situation, it's not that he was, you know, feeling sick or just, it began with having a discomfort. So, you know, you have it checked out and, you know, it's tell you it was straining because he looked really good. He was fit. I mean, he was working out. So they kind of blamed everything on the weightlifting.
Right. Who's the doctors?
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
so he's in pain. He goes to the doctors and they say, hey, like, you know, it's probably the weight that you're lifting.
Right.
So he goes to the gym and he's like, okay, I'm not going to lift as heavy. And he's still feeling this pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was what? In his back? He was just feeling all over discomfort?
No, it just started, again.
Down there.
And, but it was like, he was kind of like, okay, he had a discomfort, but he was just living life anyway.
Right. Okay.
As a matter of fact, he still went to Italy.
Right. With this discomfort.
You know?
So we didn't think it was like that serious if he's able to function. And that's why cancer, I feel like, could be really tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really tricky. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, maybe if we wouldn't have gone or we would have stopped the vacation on him. But again, you know, you never think
that would have. Worst case scenario like that.
Because it's like, we never really had it in the family or anything like that.
Right, okay.
No, we never had any kind of problems.
Gotcha.
You know, everybody was...
The last thing on your mind was cancer.
Yeah, but, you know, you would never figure.
So he comes home from Italy, and then he's still feeling this discomfort. So you guys take him into the doctors. Mm-hmm. And what happened differently this time to get you guys to the point to know that this is cancer?
Well, when he came back, then it wasn't just that. Then we started feeling back pain. So now we're trying to address this, and the doctor still couldn't
pinpoint,
you know, what it was. They were telling him it's the straining, it's the mattress, it's, you know, everything but what it was.
Gotcha. So how did we finally get to the point of like, let's go deeper than just the surface level. Let's get a scan or let's.
Well, obviously, because we had to take him out of his doctor that he was seeing.
Okay.
Because we weren't getting any answers.
Gotcha.
And we wound up taking to our own personal doctor.
Okay.
Because, again, at the time, he was still a minor, so he was still going to
pediatrics. Gotcha.
But at that point, we said, you know, enough is enough. We went to our family doctor, and then they ordered a CAT scan and this and that, and that's when we got the news.
So you get the news. Oof.
Okay. My wife actually got the news over the phone.
Hmm. Okay.
And...
How did you find out she came to you in person and said?
Well, I mean, it was funny because me and Francesco were helping out a neighbor moving some sheetrock.
Okay.
And I see her hysterical in the car.
Okay.
So, like, I'm going, what's going on? So I get in the car and I'm hearing this and that. And then that's how we found out. I mean, that's how I found out because the doctor was still on the phone telling her what this and that. And we were just devastated. We just, you know.
How did you tell Francesco?
I don't remember. You know.
It's like a blur.
Yeah, it was, honestly, I guess we had to just tell him that, you know, this is it. We got to do something about it quick.
Do you feel that you approached it in a way of, we're concerned, like, this is a problem? Or did you, you know, make the executive decision as parents to say, we're going to tell them what it is, but let's approach it in a way where, like, hey, this is fixable. Like, do you feel like you were already on, like, this mode of, like, we're going to show him, you know, strength from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, we took control right away. Okay. We got calls were being made and things were getting set up with the doctors and operations and, you know, everything in 1 week, basically, you know, just because the faster you removed it, the more of a chance of surviving it.
Gotcha.
But what they didn't know at the time, that pain in the back was already spread because it was too late down the line when we found out.
So the doctors didn't catch it in time.
They didn't know.
And that's why the cancer got so bad?
Yeah, because it started spreading.
Okay.
Because once cancer goes through lymph nodes, then it's traveling. It's traveling. No longer. If they would have caught it on time, you know, even through a blood test or a sonogram or other methods that they use, or even a simpler blood test, if they would have analyzed it right, it should have been a red flag, knowing that the counts were offset.
Right.
But I guess nobody picked, you know, his doctor didn't pick up on it.
Right.
His pediatric.
Well, we talk a lot in the beginning how he was a very energetic kid and he always wanted to be the center of attention. When he got this news and started to battle this experience, did that change? Did it change his character? Did it change who he was?
It didn't really change him. I mean, he accepted it and he says, you know, of course we encourage him. I said, don't worry, we're going to get through this. So, but to us, it was still a bad concern because, you know, just the word cancer alone just makes you crawl under a rock.
Yeah.
Knowing from other people's experience.
Do you think that, and I don't know if it was when he was younger, but I think I remember you guys telling me that there would be nights where he would, like, sleep with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, he was kind of maybe fearing.
Yeah, he would have, you know, he would, his motions would fluctuate, you know.
There would be days you'd see him suffering with it?
A little bit, you know. But
He didn't show it.
He didn't show it too much. You know, he's always concerned about other people than himself. So he would always hide his emotions from us, not to make us, you know, more than what we are.
Right.
So we would try to, you know, just have a normal lifestyle.
Do you think that you were able to, like, kind of see past that mask? That he was mentally, you know, worried and going through it?
He was a strong kid. He was a strong young man. And he tackled anything. So it was kind of hard to tell, but obviously he was going to be, of course he was, you know, concerned himself, but he didn't show it as much.
Yeah. What were some of the things that you guys were doing in the house? Because I know he was doing chemo, but chemo destroys the body. And I know you guys were working at home when he would come home from chemo to rebuild the body. Do you remember some of the things to give people out there that maybe also are battling out cancer that you would suggest that kind of help put them back together?
Sure. I mean, we started juicing a lot. And, you know, we would constantly, you know, with the right stuff where we were being guided from people that know about these juices that you, like, mix together.
Research.
And, you know, so because we were like fish out of water. We had no idea what to do. But we were doing things like juicing with, I mean, carrots, kale, green apples, you know, a lot of that. And that actually helped him out, you know, when he was going through that, especially after chemo.
I noticed that you brought up the fact that the doctor, you know, didn't catch it. Do you feel that you hold anger in your heart right now towards that doctor that didn't catch it in time?
Well, yeah, obviously I do have anger towards him. And if he wasn't, you know, he could have said, listen, I can't figure it out. Or maybe say, you know, why don't you go see someone else instead of making so much time go by. So you gave this thing enough time to grow and move, you know?
Yeah.
So it could have been honest, you know, he could have said, listen, you need to go to a specialist. I can't see nothing wrong with him.
Right.
You know, he looks great. He looks fit. Okay, he has this, but I would have moved on. You know, we would have tried to speed up things.
Well, I think that you guys as a family have really learned from this experience. And I want to just make sure that I articulate what you guys learn so other people learn. Now it's, you know, when you are feeling sick and you feel like maybe like a doctor isn't able to, you know, figure out what it is, like to take that extra step and say, you know what, I'll go get another second opinion just to see.
Oh,
and be more proactive of, you know, if you don't feel good and someone's saying like, hey, I don't see something wrong, but you still don't feel good, to take that step and say, you know what, I'll go see someone else and see in case and get that second opinion.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. Don't even hesitate.
Yeah.
If you feel like the doctor's not telling you what you want to hear, then just move on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're people like us, right. Even though they study, but they're not God.
Right.
You know, they do make mistakes.
Right. So the good news is Francesco went into remission at that time, or very close to remission. I know his numbers like dropped completely where he can go back to a normal
somewhat,
life.
Yeah.
When that happened, like, where was everybody at? Was everybody just excited? And
of course, you know, we figured, okay, we got this, you know, we beat it. Now we just have to, you know, reinforce him again,
right?
You know, build him up.
Because it's a change of life, right? Once you get it that first time, I mean, forever, this, you got to kind of watch what you eat and take your vitamins, and it's a complete change.
Everything. You got it. Yeah.
Were you scared that it was going to come back?
I didn't think it was going to come back.
Okay.
I thought we were at a good point.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, we try to do what we can. But, you know, he would always cheat here and there. Of course, I wouldn't see it because, you know, I couldn't
like
hold
cheat
his
on
hand.
Foods, yeah, like certain, you know, things you'd snack on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
well, you know, like we said, you know, definitely stay away from sugar because that triggers everything off.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're a young man, you know what I'm saying?
Right, it's hard to.
So now, in your mind, you're okay, you know, you're good. Now you just got to build yourself up. So, I got this, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I remember you guys have told me many times that when he got into remission and, you know, you guys obviously recognized the life that he was living, being so sick, you guys kind of felt like you wanted to just give him the world. So what is it that you want? You want a dog? You want a car? You just started just kind of like, would you say, spoiling him? Was that your way of like, almost like feeling...
Making him happy.
Yeah.
Give him something to look forward to. You know, give him whatever happiness we could have gave him.
Right.
I don't think we were doing anything wrong. We were just trying to build up his spirits and everything else, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it helped, like having that... I mean, he loved the dog.
Yeah,
just everything.
I think it did help. Yeah, it did. Brought a lot of comfort to him.
Good.
You know, even us now, even though he's a pain, but he's still good.
The dog.
Yeah.
So I come home from college, and somehow us two, the two Bozo the Clowns, they find each other again. All of a sudden, your son's a TikTok star. You go into the bread store. You got the girl saying, aren't you the father, to the famous kid Francesco. Life changes. You're like, what the hell is going on? What were you thinking about this whole, what was your first reaction to finding out we're making these videos online?
I mean, he would come home and tell me about it. But, you know, again, I would encourage him. But I really didn't, you know, I was like, all right, whatever, you know. You like it, you enjoy it, but you still got to go to work. You got to get a job.
Right.
You got to get a career.
You didn't understand.
You
like, this
get
could
something.
Be a career.
Yeah. And he's telling me, no, but Dad, you
this
don't
is
understand.
My career.
With this, you don't know how what I can do and this and that. I'm like, okay, I didn't know it. I thought, you know, I didn't blow him off, but I was like, okay,
right,
whatever. Do what you want to do.
Whatever you want to do.
If you're having fun, go ahead. You know, but then I was like, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to college? You want to study? You want to get a job? You want me to
You
go?
Kept saying, I get you doing TikTok, but do you want a job? But Dad, I'm doing TikTok. Okay, but hey, the job's still here if you want it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, all right, you could do TikTok on your spare time.
He's like, you're not understanding, Dad. This is all I do. Do you feel that as, you know, you kind of watch the both of us doing this job and you're like, what the hell is going on? You started to watch your son, like, kind of find his purpose?
Actually, I realized that, you know, a little bit later, because it took me a while to understand it and accept whatever it was.
Right.
Because it was all new.
Right. Well, you guys knew that. I was behind the scenes of it. So you're like, what the... This girl gets back together with him. He's online. What the hell is going on?
It was crazy. It was like, we didn't know. We didn't know what the hell was going on. So, but then you realize that. I'm like, I can't believe this, you know?
Yeah.
He's actually, you know, doing these things and people love it, you know, is making everybody laugh.
Yeah.
And,
Like I remember, quiet on the set. You guys are like downstairs trying to like get home from work. You're like cleaning dishes. He's like, I'm filming. And you guys are like, excuse me, Mr. Like, Hollywood up there. And I think it's so ironic too. And that's why I wanted you to, you know, bring up his younger years of going to LA. And it's almost like, you know, he found that in himself again because he loved it.
Yeah.
At first he was like, oh no, am I corny for this? And then all of a sudden he's like, Caitlin, here's the schedule for next week. These are the videos we're going to do. I'm like, okay, go off. But then we both decided that we were going to share not only just funny moments and pranking each other, but sharing like what he's really going through and like who he is and what he experienced.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you guys were always very, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, low key about this. It was not something that many people knew about Francesco. And all of a sudden, millions of people are now following this idea that Francesco was suffering with this and he was kind of like leading this pack of other people that were sick.
Yeah.
What were like your thoughts at first of, I know you guys used to say like, don't put your dirty laundry like out there. Like, yeah, is that, right, it was kind of like weird, right?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, you know, it's a private matter, you know, and again, these are, it's all new things to us, you know.
Right.
You get, you know, you're dealing with something in the family. It's just you don't bring it out there.
Right.
It's like, and you know, a million people like following, like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, and then again, that's why I said I didn't realize it, how much he had, how powerful this thing
how powerful
was.
It could be.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And I remember sitting down with Francesco one day and he's like, I don't know if I should share this or not. I'm like, you know, I think that that's what makes you you. And I will encourage you to do so. I wanted him to make the decision for himself, but I definitely gave him that push. And I'm just really grateful that, you know, you guys all trusted me with that idea for him and trusted that I had his best interest because he left a legacy behind.
Yeah.
I mean, he got that street sign because of how many people think about him when they're fighting right now and say, like, you know, he did this. Like, he, you know, like, it really you know, even just that prayer before he passed, like...
Yeah. All those people, yeah. Such support.
It was, like, so powerful. I remember, like, his mom was like, we should do a prayer on TikTok Live. And I'm thinking in my head, like, you know, his mom a year ago would have never thought that this was even a thing. And
no,
look how much, like, she found, like, love in this. And, like, this is, like, our power and support.
Yeah.
We've had so many people sending, like, prayers to the point that I really, truly thought because of, like, the power that we had in this world, that like he was going to get that miracle.
Yeah, we all did. Actually, we were hoping for that. Yeah, it was really amazing, actually. Yeah, I would never thought that all these people would come around.
Yeah.
You know, just from a TikTok. Because I thought it was something that you guys were playing with early in the, you know, in the days. I'm like, whatever.
Get a job, man.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's, I guess that was the wave of the future. And I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
Used to a certain lifestyle.
Of course.
Certain way, you know, growing up.
Got this girl coming into your house. She's half Italian, half American. Now her son's, I'm going to the bread store just trying to be a normal citizen. I got people coming up to me. What the hell is going on?
You know, we're sitting there, whatever, having dinner, and we're hearing screams. You know, so we run upstairs, like, what are you? And it's like, you know, you're filming. It's like, Dad, what the hell? What
do
you
mean,
what the hell? You know, I hear you guys are screaming. I don't know what's going on. Did you get hurt? I'm like, you okay?
You're just doing skits.
It was nuts. It was crazy.
Listen, you had your fair share, too. You were like a paid actor on his page as well.
Yeah.
You were good.
Yeah.
Maybe that was your calling.
Said, everything. I support him with everything, no matter what it was.
So, Joe, he was living this dream with me. And then in 2021, in September, me, you, and his mother drive him to the hospital because he's like, I have this back pain that just won't go away. We're sitting in, and tell me if you remember, we're sitting in a waiting room, waiting to hear what's going on. He was the only one that was allowed to go in. This is kind of during COVID times. Well, this was during COVID times where everything was super strict and we're waiting and waiting. And finally, the doctors come out to us and say, listen, the cancer's back and it hit his main organs. And that was something that it was in his liver and his lungs. That was something that in the past when he was younger, that it never got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts when you first heard that?
I was afraid. I was really, really concerned because now, you know, it wasn't just where it was. Now it's serious.
Yeah.
Worse than it was.
Yeah.
So.
Was it then that you were like, the cancer could take my son?
It did cross my mind, yeah. Absolutely.
Was it more of like, I'm like scared, or it's more like we need to just take action and just do whatever it is we need to do?
Well, I mean, I don't know about not being afraid. It was just, I know we had to react on something, whatever we could have done, we would have done.
Yeah.
No matter what it was, no matter where we had to go or what we had to do.
Well, we end up picking up and going to Mexico to try the holistic approach, which when I look back, I feel like was such a beautiful trip. I think that I really thought it was going to be miserable because we're going to cure his cancer. And like, who wants to, he doesn't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. We just want to live our lives and be 24. You know, you don't want to like watch your son go through this. But in the mix of all that, we had a lot of fun on that trip.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like, it was, I, you know, you're like, eh. Like, because half the day was him doing his treatments. But at night, like, the gym, the dinners, like, the walks, like, just that time where you don't have to work and be that guy that, like,
that was great.
You're kind of programmed to be.
Yeah, even just spending time with you guys, you know. Because, you know, always, like you said, always at work or whatever. And then you guys were running out, so... You know, it was always hit and miss.
Yeah.
I was busy. You guys were busy. So that time was, it was nice. Just hanging out.
Were you happy to just be in Mexico? And are you glad that you went?
Yeah, of course. I'm glad. Yeah, I wouldn't have had it any other way. As much, it was so hard to leave that time.
I know. I know. I remember he was in so much pain in Mexico. Like, and that's why we had to leave. It got so bad, and I remember you couldn't leave his side. You couldn't sleep. Like, he was up all night. Like,
I know.
I kept saying, like, Joe, like, go downstairs, take a walk, or go sit by the pool. And you're like, I just can't leave.
Yeah, I couldn't detach myself. I couldn't stay away from him.
No.
And it was torture when I left that day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was miserable.
Yeah. You wanted to stay. Yeah,
absolutely. Without a doubt.
Do you wish you stayed?
I was glad when you guys got home.
Yeah. We came home shortly after anyway.
I know, but that was that pain in the back that really, that was the downfall of the empire, basically.
Well, when we came home from Mexico, for me, everything was kind of a blur because everything was just happening so quick. Like, we were just trying everything and the cancer just kept moving. Every time we went back in to get, you know, new results, it was just like, oh, it came here now and here. And like, it was just like, we couldn't catch a break. Yeah. My question to you is, you know, at a certain point, you were like balancing this life of your son is sick at home, but you need to get up every day and go to work. And my question to you is, like, what was it like putting on a mask and living this double life?
You got to just go like nothing was going on. But meanwhile, inside, you're burning up, you're agitated, you're aggravated, you're angry, you're just everything.
Did it affect your work ethic at work?
Yeah, it did. It did in the beginning, definitely did. I wasn't...
You just didn't want to be there.
I wasn't paying attention good. I was just... I really didn't care. You know, I was... you know, the guys saw me that I was a little edgy, so they would not question me because they knew...
Did they know what was going on, your friends or your coworkers? Did you like people... And this is something that I know is very different for everybody's experience... Did you like when people would address it to you and check in to see how you were doing, or you were the type of person where you prefer it not really brought up?
No, I mean, it was fine. If they asked me, I guess, you know, their concern, it was nice to see that you, you know, people care, you know, and they try to put you at ease in any way they could.
Yeah.
You know, but your mind was just somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't.
I feel like we were all kind of just playing this role, like, during the day you're working and trying to make money for the house while this is going on, and I'm with Francesco, and then we switch and I go home and you come home, and it was like this, we all had this system. Did you expect me to be as involved as I was during this process?
No, in the beginning I didn't.
Yeah.
And I actually felt bad for you. I said, you know, this young girl, she's got to go through this, you know. But you did, you stuck it out.
Do you feel I could have done anything better during the process?
There's really nothing much any of us could have done. It's just stay close.
It's kind of like you asked that question because it's like, I think all of us in a way were like, could we have done more? You know, like we all feel that. We tried like everything possible.
We did what we could, what to, you know, to our limits. obviously, you know, I mean, she was constantly researching things, new things, whatever we could have thrown at him, we did.
Right.
But then it got to the, you know, got to the point which it was no matter what you did.
Yeah.
And that last thing with the chemo, which I was totally against.
Yeah.
Because I knew that was going to take him.
Because he was so weak.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a point where, like, just it came to a point where nothing was working.
No, because it was already too late.
There was a point where Francesco got so sick that he needed to be rushed to the hospital, and mm-hmm. this was when he was still on the breathing tube and stuff, and we get there in hopes that maybe they can do something, and they tell us, like, he really doesn't have much left. Like, at this point, he's in hospice.
Yeah.
Was it then that you started, like, where were you at? What were your thoughts when, like, they're telling you, like, hey, like, you have, like, a week left? Like, that's what they told me. They're like, hey, because I went up to them, like, what do I have? And they're like, a week. You know, I don't know if you asked them the same question, but I do know that you were pretty aware that they were saying this to you. And, like, where were you at?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I know it was just a short time, whatever it was going to be. And I don't know. I just don't know where my mind was. I was just trying to stay as close to him as I could. And whatever, hope for the best.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when he came home, you guys spent a lot of time together. Because me and Rosa kind of got the boot a little bit. His mother, because me and her were like more like, you got to take this and take that. And you were more like, if you don't want to do anything, like, I'll hang out with you. And you gave him, like, that escape for a little bit. You guys spent a lot of time. And is there anything in particular that you two talked about in your last couple of days that you still, to this day, like, sticks with you, that he gave you? Like, anything that you carry with you that you'd like to share?
It won't come out?
I know.
I don't know. It was just hard.
Yeah. Because for me, he was talking to me, like, in a place of acceptance. Like, hey, Caitlin, when you're ready to meet me at this sense of consciousness, I just want to enjoy your company. And, like, here's the things I want you to know. And I think we all got that. He was like, hey, like, you know, can you step out of the room? I want to talk to my brother. Hey, can you step out? You know, I want to talk to my father. And he told me so many things that, like, every, you know, I feel like throughout my days, like, they'll just kind of just flash. Like, I'll think about. There was just so much that he was so wise. Yeah. He really was.
Yeah, he was an old soul.
He was an old soul. Is there anything that you want to say on those times that was really special for you? Just being in his presence.
Just being there was fine.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I know I tried to be strong for him. And, you know, he didn't want to see anybody crying in the room. So.
You did a really good job. I am so proud of you.
We did what we could.
There was this one morning that I'll never forget. And it was maybe like 2 days before he passed away where you were downstairs in the kitchen and you do this, you have your coffee and then you put the bread in the coffee. You have like a little soup action going on downstairs.
Yeah.
I still don't understand it entirely. Last time you're like, try it. I'm like, eh, you keep that.
It's an old thing from Italy, basically. You know, you grow up with that.
The bread soup of coffee.
Yeah, it's an Italian custom thing, you know. You would put anything in the milk and coffee.
You bread, keep that. Cookies, I'll stick to my ramen noodles. But anyway, you know, you looked at me. I was like, "Hey, good morning," and you said, "Look," very, you know, randomly. You just looked at me, and you looked so gone, and you were like, "You know, I don't really know what God's plan is here, but if He's gonna take him, like, just take him. Okay, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to see him like this anymore. And I just think that God's going to take him. Like, I think that's what's going to happen." I remember Fabrizio and I were kind of just like, whoa. Like, that was like your first time of ever getting to a place mentally where, like, you were like, this is just not going the way we want it to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, one can argue that that's weakness, but I think the one thing that made Francesco so strong, and I think that was your strength point, was just being like an acceptance of like, This isn't really working.
Yeah.
This is done.
Yeah, because he was suffering too much.
I mean, too much.
At the end, it was horrible. To see your child suffer like that, you just rather not have it.
I know. Yeah. So. And I think that they say that there is this thing of when somebody passes on, but, you know, prior to their passing, that they're in so much pain that there's this sense of, in a weird way, relief, because you can't watch them like that anymore. Yeah. You know how much pain that they were in.
Yeah.
And I think that there was a part of all of us where we were like, just rest. You know, it's like, we can't see this anymore.
No, it was too much.
It was too unbearable. Much.
Yeah. As much as I didn't want him to go, he should have gone. That was it. Because he fought. He fought a lot.
He really... It was insane how much he fought. The day that he passed away, which, worst day of our life, and we don't need to go much into it because we've done our own talks on the side to really understand his day. But there is one moment that I really just want to, you know, understand your thoughts on, which is when I said, hey.
He's gone. Oh,
he's gone. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Of course.
What was your first, just like, no. Like, let me check. You know,
yeah.
Maybe not. It's kind of just like, let me see, like, you know, you are, that's why I went to you, because I'm like, maybe he will know that this is not the truth. Like, you just don't want it to be the truth.
Yeah, you see it, but you're not believing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was it when you were just like, I'm going to surrender and accept that this is what it is?
That was it, at that moment. I mean, there's not that, everything was exhausted, no matter what we did.
Yeah.
It had to be. And that's, you know, I told him, it's okay.
You gave him the okay. He needed your okay. I'm so proud of you for talking. No, I really am, because it's so important. I know.
You had to go.
You had to go.
I couldn't see him like that.
No. No. No one could. It was...
I said, thank you for your fight.
Yeah. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We all are carrying that strength now to this day. He left us with some serious power.
That's true.
Because I'm going to tell you something. You guys, and when I say you guys, you know, you and... your wife, Fabrizio, and myself, like, people fall apart. Like, they stop working, they quit their jobs, they just give up on life. But you guys found a way to just find that, like, I have to keep going. And, like, I guess my question is, how? How do you have any advice for other parents out there? Because you guys are not the only parents that lost a child. How do you wake up every day and do it?
Well, it's not easy, but... if you let yourself go, and then it's like he's passed away, it doesn't mean anything. You got to carry him on. Yeah. You got to keep moving with him.
Yeah.
He gives you the strength to move forward. So, you know, with everything you do, just like, you know, in the morning I come down, I just get sick of morning, but he's still there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Pass by his room.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of things. I mean, you know, everywhere you turn, you see him.
Yeah.
So.
You think of, like, you'll be, like, in a certain part of the house, and you think of, like, maybe, like, an old flashback of, like, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that happens to me when I come by. Even in my own house, you'd come here all the time.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
When you get into that dark place of, like, really, because they always say it, and we know this best at this point, grief comes in waves.
Yeah.
So when it hits you. What's like your, what is it that you do? Like, do you just like maybe turn the TV on or breathe? Or like, what is a tactic that you use to kind of calm yourself and bring yourself back to center?
Well, you know, but you get those moments. I mean, obviously when he first passed, and then when I went back to work, you know, I was there, but I really wasn't there.
Do you think that having that task helps to kind of just get out of the house and, you know.
Yeah, it does a lot, you know.
Good.
Just, you know, you're out, like, but you're out in the world, but you feel like you're not part of it.
Yeah.
Yet. You know, you just, you're in your own world regardless. But, you know, and then you, you know, you think of like some of his good times and, you know, you laugh about it and say it's going to be okay. You know, we'll be together again.
And we also request signs.
Yeah.
Right? What's going on? Where are you? We do it all the time. We're at the house. Like, can you throw something? Shut a door? I don't know. Yeah. Give us something.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he's come through a few times. Yeah. You know, he plays with your phone. He makes phone calls, you know, or his name will show up onto my phone. I'm like, I know I didn't call Francesco.
Yeah.
But it comes up.
It comes up. You said that you've done some meditation yourself at work. Like, you'll find some time to sit in silence.
Yeah, in the beginning I was doing a lot more of it than now.
Okay. You lost it a little bit. I lost mine as well. I need to go back.
It did because, you know, it was kind of almost getting depressed in there. You know, because I have my own little, like, office. And I would just shut everything down and just try and visualize whatever is what. And, you know, obviously you burst down in tears. But you move, you know, I kept trying, you know, just to have some kind of contact.
Yeah. Do you like, for example, when maybe it's Francesco's birthday or his 1 year of not being here, do you like people acknowledging that to you? Like, hey, I want to reach out and check in? Or would you prefer not really getting those messages? Maybe it resurfaces things.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Okay. You know? There are times that it's okay. You know, I mean, it's nice because, you know, his friends gather and
yeah,
and it's nice, you know, we all talk about him and this and that. And so, you know, it keeps him going.
You like having the friends over. I know you guys plan something and you know? We do it often. I feel we try. It helps to just have that energy in the house.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the bond. That's what he left us. No, but then there are times that, you know, go, you know, okay. It's depending on your mood, really.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you could accept it and you want it, and then sometimes, like,
some of it depends on the day.
Yeah, yeah, basically. So,
do you ever, you know, you're out perhaps and you see a family pass by you with the mom and dad and some ex, you know, kids? Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, does that trigger you into what happened to you?
No, good. Not really. You know, I mean, like you said, I'm not the only one in this boat, there's so many other people too that lost their child. But, yeah, it's nice to see when a family and, you know, and the people that do have their family, they should appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's something that I know that you and your wife really say, like, you know, being somebody that's lost their son, like, at the very least, we just want to feel that everybody else is appreciating their kids and appreciating their siblings, and because you really don't know what can happen.
Yeah.
So it really changed your life.
Yeah.
And I guess now my question to you is, what now? You know, what do you fear the future for yourself? Do you, and this is something, by the way, that a lot of parents do fear, and this doesn't even have to be you lost a son, like, you know, your other son, like getting married, and, you know, this idea of just feeling like alone, like, do you fear loneliness or this change of life?
No, loneliness, no, not really. You know, because like I said, I mean, you have your family around you and, you know, your friends and everybody's there when, you know, when you need the company.
Yeah.
But loneliness, no. But like I said, because I know he's always around me anyway. So.
Yeah. I really feel that way as well. Like, I just feel, I'm like, am I crazy? But it's like, no, I feel like he just hasn't left.
Right.
You know, like you feel me, right?
Yes, he didn't leave. He's always around. It's just that, unfortunately, you can't touch or feel or...
Of course.
But I'm sure he's hearing this conversation right now.
Oh, for sure. He's like, go, Dad! No, he's proud of you because it's hard to talk.
No, he's probably pissed off because I'm crying.
That's true, actually. He's like, come on, man, really?
Come on, you're making me look bad, Dad, you know?
You said something really beautiful to me the other day. You said that... one day, when I get married, you want to walk me down the aisle?
If you give me the honor, yes.
Why?
Because you're still my daughter.
You know, I promised myself I wasn't going to cry in this, and you're making it so hard. No, you are doing amazing. Thank you. And you...
You're still part of... You're still part of the family, no matter what. You're stuck with us.
I am so grateful that I got the privilege again, like I said in the beginning, to be a part of this family and, like I said, finally show you guys who I really am. I think that you guys are not the only people that mistaken me, you know, or maybe didn't understand who I was. And a lot of people had a hard time, like, getting past the surface level things to just give me that chance. And I'm just so glad we got that. And we have this beautiful relationship. But I just want to say that I don't know. And you could tell me if this is true, that you fear me disappearing out of your life. But you will always be a part of my life.
No, I was... Actually, it never crossed my mind.
Good. You trust me?
Yes. I wasn't going to let you go
there. You're like, I'm going to fight for that.
I'm going to be there no matter what. Even if you don't want me there.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I see you guys, I think of him. And maybe when you see me, you've...
Of course. Absolutely.
You think of Quiet on the set.
It was part of the world. You were part of the circle now. You know, that's what he did.
Yeah.
At least... He left us that memory, you know?
We have all these beautiful videos now. True. His personality is the tea. I know that you guys just downloaded them all to a CD in case TikTok gets banned and stuff. So I'm really glad that you did that.
Right, yeah, of course. Because you never know what these electronic things, they do what they want. Play them, they take them off. So, you know, at least we have it.
Well,
And you haven't seen... So many other videos. Then
when I know I want to come over and see like the baby videos and stuff.
Yeah, I gotta set it up.
That
I gotta
portion
give it
of
time.
His life, I
There's
didn't
so
get
many.
To. Yeah, I don't think anyone will truly understand us like us with everything that we've been through. And I just want to thank you for just the best like 10 years of my life. You know, like just. Even when we would have our breakups and I would get texts from you like, just checking in, Kate, how you doing? Yeah, and I'd be like, the parents still love me. If he tries to get another girlfriend, good luck.
No, we won't let it happen.
I really,
I
I'm just...
checked up, you know that.
Yeah.
Because I know you guys used to have your spats here and there and it's like, let it go, just go. And you just couldn't.
Oh my God. Do you remember how many times? Yeah. You're like, just let it go. He's like, shut up over there. You are not involved. I'm like, hey, listen to your father. You douche. I'm like, all right. No, Joe, it's an honor. And I'm just so proud of you for being so brave and talking today. Thank you for trusting me with just everything, you know, giving me the courage to even make this podcast and just trusting me with your son. And just,
absolutely. I really just thank you for making him so happy.